Amen.
Good morning. Hope you're glad to be here today. Hope you came with expectancy. We say it every week just about, and we mean it. You're not here by mistake this morning. No matter why you think you're here, you're not here by mistake. You're here by design. God had a design for you to be here today, and we're glad you're with us. A couple things I want to take note of before we begin this morning. You don't often see him, but some of you do, because he sits behind the cage back here. We rotate. We have different drummers. But Justin, we call him Jay, he's been back there. And last week, or was it last week, Jay, actually, or a week before? Okay, well, he was back there, and somebody came to me and said, did you see the T-shirt he was wearing? And I said, yes, I did. I did see the T-shirt. It didn't say anything to me, except then I had to go back and ask him what he wore, and it was a Pink Floyd T-shirt, okay? Like, you know, a Pink Floyd. And I guess the person who was asking me or telling me was thinking maybe my response would indicate whether they should complain or say, well, that was great. And I said, well, I did notice. Wasn't it great? And they didn't complain too much more after that, as if I really noticed or even cared Pink Floyd. Some of you who don't know who Pink Floyd is, join your ranks. It's a rock band. Old, actually. But so I wanted this morning, because the band noticed all of a sudden Jay shows up, man. He's got slacks on, and he's got a collared shirt. And his wife had to teach him how to button, because this shirt actually has buttons on it. And he buttoned it up. And so I just got it. He says, man, I'm stepping up my game. Somebody didn't like my Pink Floyd T-shirt. And that was sad for him, too, because it was brand new. It was a gift. But that's okay, as if I cared. I didn't care, but some of you did. But he stepped up his game. He may wear it again. Don't worry. I don't care. So that's just the reality. Also, August 16th, there's going to be we call it a family dedication. It's not just a baby dedication. It's a family dedication. If you've had a new little one or your kids and you want to have we bring you up. And it's basically to dedicate not just the child to the Lord. There's no spiritual significance in that at all. We dedicate you as family, you as mom or dad, mom and dad. We dedicate you to raising your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And that's really what the dedication service is all about. It's August 16th. We'll do it probably in the second service. If you're interested in having that, we have some already. Would you see Pastor Mike back there or myself? And we'll write you down for August 16th, second service, the family dedication. We are starting a series today, Pastor Ben and I, Tracy Campus as well. And as usual when we start the service, there's a series. There's some things that are together, and we take leeway within that, but there's the points that are going to be made. We're starting a series really on community and relationships. What does it look like? And for me today, as I studied and as I looked for today, I realized that we have to go back to the basics. And I mean all the way back to the basics. And for some of you this morning, it could be seen as controversial. I don't wrestle with this message at all. You may, but I do not. I just trust God's word says. I'm not saying you don't, but I'm saying sometimes we don't like what God's word says, and so we will choose something else that may sound nice about it. You guys know from a pastor's heart as well as from our doctrinal statement that we hold the word to be true, inerrant. It's complete. It's our standard for life and practice. Now, in God's word, we're going to talk about some of this. It's just basic to me. It is back to the basics. And if we're going to go back to the basics for community and back to the basics of what God sees in it, you have to go all the way back to the beginning, and that is the call of creation, where God created. It's where it all begins. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Now, all of this has already taken place, so I'm just taking one verse. You can go back to Genesis 1 and read this account. But God saw all that he had made. He had made everything. He had divided the firmament. He had created the plants, the animals, all the things. And he saw all that he had made. He had made. And it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. So in 6 days, God had created this and God had taken this. Now, I don't find this difficult at all. Some do. Some of you argue with this. I believe God's word says that he created, he made it. We live in a society today in our educational system where we don't teach that at all. Oh, I'm sure some schools do. But we teach the theory of evolution from Darwin's Origin of Species. That's what we teach today in most cases. The theory of evolution. Unfortunately, many times we teach this theory as fact. And it is not. It is a theory. I don't wrestle with it because God's word said he made everything. He created it. I take it at that. to me, it's not simple in its process. It's just simple belief. But in the midst of that, understand, I'm not a simpleton. I went to a school, and a seminar intensive that I took was on the issue of creation. And so within that, if you want to argue that, I don't get into arguments, but I am telling you, if you really look at it, there is more in the record of the word, in the record of our society today, in the fossil record, in everything you see, there's more evidence for creation than there is for the theory of evolution. Just go study it. Don't read what some pundit believes. Go look. And God said he created. So I don't find it something that I really get over it, and yet some will do that. And we can delay, and we can argue, and we can go back and forth, but why? But there is a purpose for this. You say, well, why do you even bring this up? Because I believe it is important. I believe some will say, well, there's a difference in how the word was made. There's a different. What difference does it make? If I believe that I've evolved from a species, or whether I'm God's design, what difference does it really make? Because it will change our whole view. It will change our worldview and will change our personal view. I think it's very important. I don't think this is just one of those things that you just slide under the rug. Some people say, well, is this a cardinal truth? I don't know that it's a cardinal truth as far as salvation, not at all. But I believe it's a cardinal truth for the way you live your life this day. For the choices that you make and the way you see of God, the view of God, I believe it is a cardinal truth. The issue is one of two things. You either believe in a divine design or cosmic chance. That's what we come down to. Is there a God, a divine God, who had a design for our life, had a design for creation? He in 6 days created this, or was it out of the void of nothingness? There was a fat slap, and all of a sudden we have a whole society that's going to begin, evolutionary process going to begin out of chance, out of a cosmic chance. See, I believe that it's important to know that. I believe it's important to look at that. Your view of this will determine your worldview. Your view will determine your own view of your own life. It changes so many things. The issue of is there a God who knows us and who loves us, who knew of us, who created this world? The Bible says we go outside and we are even held accountable because we look at the creation that he has made, and it holds us accountable to realize there's a God. When you look at the intricacies of your own body, your life, the things around us, the things that each of us in our multiplicity of differences has evolved just from situations to adapt, instead of a God who created us, who knows us and designs us, it just doesn't even make any sense to me. If you believe in the divine design or a cosmic chance, it changes our worldview. It will change our view of God. What you believe about this changes our view of God. If you believe that it's by cosmic chance, you say, what does this have to do with relationships? I think it's very important that we go back to the beginning to see how God created us. If you believe in this cosmic chance, then when quite frankly you're saying there is no need for God. The heart of evolution says there is no need for God. Understand that though they don't teach that in the school, and I got many educators in here who some will disagree, fine. But the heart of evolution says there is no need for God. He did not create anything. You happened by chance. And yet on the other hand, we're telling people to find significance and self-worth. Why? How? You came from nothing, you're going to nothing, and in the middle you're supposed to find worth of something of your life? That makes no sense at all. It changes your view of God. There, if I didn't come from God, if God didn't have a design for my life, then there is no God. There are no absolutes. It's ever evolving. We see that in our society, folks. Truth is relative, and it's ever evolving. We have no standards anymore. Why? Because we don't have a need for God. We don't see God in any of the process. And yet, if you see a design, a divine design, you realize that God created you. He knows you. There is a God, and there's a plan for your life. And ultimately, our destiny is heaven. Ultimately, there is an eternity awaits that God said, I knew you there, and you're going to be with me here if you accept my grace and trust in him. Then in the middle, he says, and guess what? I'm going to give you the significance of being in Christ, of knowing who you are, of living a life, not from a worldview, but from a spiritual view perspective. It changes our view of God. And if you believe that we're ever evolving and changing, and you came from nothing, and our students, I know there's a lot of students right here, and for some, do you realize that for some students, the truth of creation is an unknown concept? It's unknown. just not even taught, but it changes our view of God. Because we have a God who designed us, who knows us. He has a plan for your life and a plan for our life. And in the midst of there, he says, here's your significance. And if you don't believe that there was a God who created, then you don't believe you have a need for God now. That he's out of the picture. But it also changes our view of man. As I said, if we just evolve from nothing, I am my own God. If I hear and I go to nothing, and I guess some would say that the end of the evolutionary process is that somehow we're going to evolve better and better and better and better and create our own heaven. I've not seen any empirical evidence of that in our society. It changes our view of man. What worth does man have? You have no worth. God didn't give you it because there is no need for God. Why do I need to value you? Because you're just part of this process as well. It changes our view of man. I mean, how do you get self-worth if you just believe that you're just existing and there's nothing here? Now, I know some of you, and believe me, I've already heard it from the first service. You're not going to be the first. You can start writing the notes now for all I care. Probably won't return your call, but it doesn't matter. Some of you believe theistic evolution. I'm going to tell you guys that's for me personally, going through ICR and all these, that's the dumbest of all things. I'm just going to tell you. To think that God just kind of like blew up the ball, like a beach ball. World, drop, kick. Now you're on your own. That's like kissing your sister. I mean, what's up with that? You know? Come on. And I don't want to argue that point, nor am I going to. But the issue is God's word said he created in 6 days. I believe six literal days. I don't believe 6,000-year days. I believe 6 days God created. It's what he said. The morning and the evening. Done. Our view of man. What is your view of man? Do you realize in creation God gave us a view of man? First he said, the man is the pinnacle of creation. Man is the pinnacle of creation. All of creation finds culmination in the creation of man. He created all these things, and then he said, now I create Adam. And when he created Adam, the pinnacle of that, he was to rule over all the creation that God had just done. He named them. He named the animals. He was to care for them. He had ruled. He was to have dominion over all those animals. Everything of it, he had dominion over the created. So he was the pinnacle of the creation, and we were to have domination over the created. We today, as man, we are to have dominion over the created. We don't worship the created, we worship the creator. And the created, we as man, listen, I know there's groups who think that we are all equal. As people, we are equal in the fact that we all need God. But you cannot say dog equals man. God made man to subdue and to control and to take care of the created. We are to take care of our environment. We're to take care of those things. It's not like we have this thing, okay, well, we just dominate it, we use it all up, use all the resources. We're to be wise enough to care for our creation, but it also doesn't mean over here that creation is more important than man, that any animal or plant is more important than any man. It does not exist. That's not the way God intended it. That we are to dominate, that doesn't mean that we are unwise in the way we use it. No. Adam was to be wise in the way of the creation, and we're to be wise in the way we use creation, the way God created it. But man is not equal. Man is equal to man, but there's not an animal that's going to be equal to man. Now, we've got that backwards, and we see that in our society right now. We see it. We see that. And we see this last week has been such a dichotomy and such an upside-down situation. I think we need to, of course, rule wise with our created beings, which God give us responsibility for. And I'm sorry that Cecil the lion got shot. That's not ruling well for some guy to put it just on the head on the wall. That's not ruling well. That's not what we're told to do. But let me just tell you something. That lion doesn't equal the child in the mother's womb. Oh, wait, it gets better than that, because some of you are going to think, well, when does life begin? I never have a problem with that question. And some of you, well, does it begin? When does the heartbeat start? Does it begin when it takes the first breath? Some people really believe that life doesn't begin until that infant outcome, and now he has life. It never wrestle with that. Do you know why I never wrestle with that? Because God says that he placed value upon you before you were ever conceived. He knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. So that tells me that there's a value statement for the child in the womb that God places upon it. Therefore, I don't need to have that discussion at all. And yet we have got to the fact that the created is more important than really the creator, and we have placed the issues of our culture and the issues of environment over the dominion of man. We in our society, and I realize it's a small minority who raise such a big fuss about the things of this world, and yet we lose importance to the things that God says this is really important. In fact, God says in creation that he was blessed by God, and we as humans are blessed by God, the created being. He blesses the just and the unjust. He blesses the guy you shouldn't have, think should have any blessing. God says, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to bless who I bless. He's blessed by God. He said, listen, I'm blessing you. I'm going to put you here. He's blessed by God. He takes care of us. He takes care of them. That was the whole point. Why? Because he says you are created in the image of God. Now, you can study. There's different views of how the image of God, what people see of that. You know, some people will say, well, that's because they have a tripartite, their mind, soul, body, or body, soul, spirit. There's different ways of the image of God. Some will think because we have reasoning skills that makes us different. Where an animal doesn't reason, but we reason. We have a soul. All of that makes us the image of God. I will tell you that I think the basis of the image of God, for me, in God's Word and study, all those things are true. But I think the basis of the image of God, that in every heart, there is a vacuum. And God has placed eternity in every heart. That every child, as we grow in, we start at some point in time and we mature, we begin to think about eternity. Ecclesiastes states that very fact. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I believe it is. We have that? Or do I have it? Ecclesiastes. Right. Do we have? Ecclesiastes, yes, 3:11. Is it up there? Ecclesiastes 3:11. It's not coming up there. Ecclesiastes. It says that God, there you go, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God has set eternity in the hearts of men. Every man, believer, unbeliever, that's what is generated within you, and all of a sudden you feel the call of God saying, do I know Christ? Why? Because we start dealing with eternity. We start dealing with that this isn't all there is. This life isn't all there is. I didn't just come from nothing and I'm going to go to nothing. No, I came from God. God put his seal on my life, and I'm going to spend an eternity either in his presence, which is heaven, or outside of his presence, which is hell. But there's an eternity, and in the heart of every man, they wrestle with eternity. I do a lot of funerals. In representing funeral homes, I meet with a lot of people who are dying. Let me tell you, their whole life could be left out. Their whole life could be saying, not thinking about eternity. But it comes to the end, and guess what they're thinking about? Eternity. Because God has set in the heart of every man to question, where is my eternity and where will I be? And within that process, that is part of the image of God, the spiritual awareness in our life that we have this, man, this issue of God. Not only do we have that image, I think the other thing that when we have the image of God is we are to represent God to this world. We are to represent his likeness to this world. When you hold up an image, when you hold up a mirror and you look at the image, it's you. In our life, we are to represent the image of the Lord Jesus. And he says we are new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. He says to put him on, that we are clothed in his righteousness. Our life should reflect the image of Christ. That's what he says to see. That we are God's representative, his ambassadors, his ministers of reconciliation to this world. That we hold up the love of God, that we value people the way he does, that we see that love of God. But he goes on. Part of what he says is for man, this image of God is this: it's not good to be alone. It is not good to be alone. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. I think I got this right this time. Last time I gave her the wrong verse. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. All that had been created, there was no sin in the world. The plants, the animals, Adam had named them all. He knew, oh, yeah, that's George, that's Henry, you know. All this to be good, but all of a sudden there was a void in Adam's heart. And God realized it wasn't good for him to be alone. Why? Because they were a little lower than him. They couldn't talk with him, converse with him, reason with him. So God made a helper suitable for him. A man and a woman together. And he's saying we are made for relationships. We talked recently about heaven. We did talking about heaven, how to get there and what it's going to be like. One of them, it's going to be relational. Why? Because God said it's not good to be alone. It's not good. And some of you think I'm an island. I can just be by myself. Well, there's times we all want to be alone. I understand that. There's time we just need to separate and say, I just need a break. But for those who say, I'm just going to separate myself, go off the grid, separate from, God did not intend for us to do that. God said there is a need for community. There is the need for community. You're not an island. And God created us for community. God gave Adam and Eve a community. Part of that community is the created things around us, no doubt. I love my Buster Posey Shih Tzu. Absolutely. Part of my community. He's my community. But that's not the only community. I need to be involved in the community. The need for interaction with people, the need and the scope that God gives us, the scope of our community. The scope of our community. Because he gives us a scope. And some of you in the scope of our community, people don't think, uh-oh. But in the scope of our community, it begins with your family. Understand the need for family. I'm talking about your nuclear family. Your biological or adoptive, whatever it may be, need for family. And I realize there are friends who are closer than family at times. But there's a need. There's part of a scope of our family. That's just one element of the need of community. The other element of the scope of our community is this family, this church family right here, where we can come in and we can hug and we can laugh and we can cry, we can share each other's burdens, we can do all those things. The scope of the church of God, the scope of community is part of the family and the importance of it. And the third part of the scope of our community is the world itself. You have a world in your own sphere of influence that you can reach, but we have a world that we're told to go and win. Now let's look at this, because some of you have one element, maybe only one element. Let me just tell you, I appreciate the fact that some of you love your families. That's fantastic. But the world is in need, and the family of God is in need, and you can't be isolated just with your own nuclear family. I have people that everything in their world revolves around family. And it sounds so good. It sounds so right. And I'm not saying, I'm not the hardliner, I'm not the legalist that says you'd never be with your family. But let me tell you, when your family and everything about it takes priority and precedent over the family of God and over the world that's in need, you are wrong. You are wrong. There are people in this church who never have anybody over other than their family. Just family. To think of having somebody from the family of God or a neighbor from the family of the world over to spend time with, what are you talking about? I just want to be with my family. Even to the point when some people say, hey, I invited so-and-so to join us today. Why did you do that? We don't know them. That's the point. We get all screwed up. We're our family, and there are people, and I heard it between services, who get angry with me when I say your family is important, but it's not the end of the world. Your family is going to create the end of the world with people who are in need. Love your family, be with your family, but some of you are disproportionate within that. Anything comes up with anybody in your family, the family of God is secondary. God says there's a family here, a family of God, that we are to come together, the scope of our community. Why? Family, so you can, the purpose of this, the purpose of all of us community, found within all of these, in our nuclear and in our church family and in our world family, is that we can encourage, we can challenge, we can correct, we can bear with each other and bear up by each other, we can come alongside each other, we can pray for one another. And as a church, what you can't do as a in nuclear family, but as a church family, you can go to win the world. You can win your sphere of influence. That's what you need to be doing on a nuclear level. But as a church body, we can do things that you cannot do alone. We can take a team to Hungary. In fact, there's a meeting August 9th that if you need to be, some of you need to be challenged to say, you mean you want me to leave my mommy? You're 50 years old. And go to Hungary for a week and minister to somebody? Yes. That's what I'm saying. To see the world. To reach out, to realize. Now, you may not can do that on your own, but as a body of Christ, we can take people to go. We can help support them to go, to minister to another foreign, to see the world, to reach the world. The scope of our community, the need for our community, the purpose of our community. Yes, encourage your family. Be salt and light to your family. Yes, have the ministry of reconciliation and ambassador for Christ to your family. But there's also the things of the word and that speak of the body of Christ and his importance that he places on it. That you need to be here. When you're not here, part of your gift is missing. We're missing the blessing and you're missing the blessing. And yet we also need to focus that there is an eternity for this world. We need to have a view of the world that needs to know Jesus. Your sphere of influence, your family, and the world that we need to pray for and encourage. How do we get out of our little boxes of where we're comfortable? How do we create change in our lives to walk in and say, you know what? The family of God is important. My family is important. It's always interesting to me. There are some people who don't have a lot of family. And you know who their family becomes? Right here. Right here. Man, this is their family. They'd spend every day with family. A lot of people. They love family here. But we need to be reaching every person that walks through that door. We need to realize we need to notice them, whether they've been here before or not. We need to notice them. We need to reach and notice our sphere of influence. We need to notice that we as a church can do things as a church that individually we cannot do. We must realize that he says to go and win this world. We need community. Yes, we're going to tear this apart and look at each of these. We're going to look at our family relationships within this, and we're going to look at the body of Christ relationships, and we're going to look at the barriers to that, the blessing of community and the burden of community, all these things that are coming up. But let's get back to the basics. The basics says God made you for community. God made you, wants to have a relationship with you. That's the grace of God. And when he has that relationship, when we give him our life, he makes us anew, and part of that new is to see the world through his eyes and not through our own. That it's not all about me. It's not all about my nuclear family. But it's about blending these, my family, my church family, and reaching the world to impact them, to realize that there's a family of the unknown that you need to know, that you need to get to know. We've seen the commercials where you drive your car in, garage door goes up, drive in, garage goes down, nothing happens until the next morning, garage door goes up, car goes out. And I realize we're all busy, but we must see the world and realize there are people who need to know Jesus, and they're only going to know them through us. Back to basics, God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. If you're here and you know the Lord, that's fantastic. Then let's live our life as those who want to impact this world. And if you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, as you sit there right now, he sent his son to die for you. It's not about this church. This place could just fall apart. It's not about religion. It's not about your heritage. It's not about that family. It's about, have you personally asked the Lord Jesus into your heart? You do that, he says, I will come. John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. God loves you today. But let's go out of this door different. Let's go out here seeing not just our nuclear family, but our church family to encourage, to pray for, to support, to be in life groups, to be a part of that family, as well as say, how can I impact my neighborhood? How can I impact this world? That is the image of God. Let's pray. God, I pray we'll take your image, we'll impress it upon our hearts, that we will be the salt and light, the ambassadors in this world. Thank you for giving us life and life more abundant. Thank you for blessing us today. May we leave here meditating on your word, changed by your word. God, may you give us a balance within that, by our families and our church family and the world. God, help us to focus on you. Make it not about us, but about you. For it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Pastor Paul.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Bill. That was an awesome message this morning. Thank you guys for being here this morning. Thank you so much for how you sacrificially give. I know we're not a church that passes around the plate, but thank you so much.